From the PEN studios in Chicago, you're listening to This or That with your hosts, Paul Grote and Scott Sanders.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to This or That, the show where we debate the pros and cons of a given topic each episode. And we're in our sort of Oscar season topic, so we're talking about movies. My name is Scott Sanders, one of your hosts, along with Paul Grote. Paul, how are you today?
I'm doing just great, Scott. How about you?
Good. We're recording an episode today that is talking about the pros and cons of long movies versus sort of what we'd call, you know, regular movies. Not necessarily short, but, you know, sort of standard length movies. And there are pros and cons to each of those, so we'll each take a side. Paul, what are you going to argue today?
So my main argument is going to be based on the premise that, get ready here, almost all movies are bad.
Well, on that note.
So what I mean by that is if you ever like spent a whole weekend just watching movies on HBO or something, maybe you're sick, or you know, maybe back in college days or something like that, you're being kind of lazy, you can't go out or what, for whatever reason, and you watch movie after movie and they turn out to be mostly not that great. So I understand it's a little bit of a cynical position to take on a topic that's really about films, and I think, you know, overall I really do like movies. But my point is that when, you know, most of the films that are made are not that great, they shouldn't be allowed to last overly long. So
okay,
nothing against
the studio
the three,
would probably agree with you.
Yeah. So yeah, nothing against long films, but you know, my main point is, hey, there's a lot of films that are kind of regular length that should actually be shorter.
Yeah, I think society is definitely moving in that way, that, you know, there's even like, you know, popular movies that are an hour and a half or shorter. You know, I think of a standard movie length as being 2 hours. I don't know how you are about that, but, you know, 2 hours is normal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll argue to the benefits of the longer movie and for different reasons, right? But I do think it is a more difficult needle to thread doing a long movie well, that some of it just seems, because of the, you know, appetite of the consumer for the length of the movie they see, some of them just totally miss the mark when they're really long like that, unnecessarily long. Mm-hmm. You know, the good 3 hour plus movies don't feel like it. You know, you didn't notice that it was a 3 hour movie because you were enthralled by, you know, what was happening on screen or on your television. So you were oblivious to the fact that the movie was so long in the first place. But I think just a couple of sort of ways to preface the discussion. One is to the listener here, we took a few liberties with this sort of timeline, you know, that close to 3 hours, a little over 3 hours, maybe a little under, you know, to me still qualifies as a long movie. You know, so it isn't a hard and fast rule, because there's a couple movies we'll talk about that were just under within minutes of being 3 hours. So, you know, close enough for government work kind of thing. And then the second thing is, Paul, you know, because you're talking about sort of the standard length of movie, you have more to draw from, right? Then I'll talk about some of the more classic movies that were 3 hours plus, just because, you know, in any given year, there's only a couple of 3 hour plus movies that hit the theaters with any significance, you know, to move the needle. Mm-hmm. So I have to go back a little farther to find good and bad 3 hour movies, whereas, you know, you can be a little more recent with your selections. So with those caveats, let's get into it, Paul. You know, go ahead and make the argument for the standard length movie.
Sure. You know, the standard length movie is really because, you know, one of the things about creativity, I think, is that, you know, what generates creativity is limits. And when you're limited in whether it's how much material you have to build something or how much time you have to make something, how much money you have to spend on something, you're forced to think more creatively within what you have. You know, Italian food. Hey, all you've got is pasta. Well, there's 19,000 types of pasta. You know, right, somebody got really creative with that over time. So I think the same kind of rule applies to when you're putting together movies. Not that I know anything about producing a film, but I would argue that this principle applies. And I think there's sometimes when you're watching a movie, and you know, there's a scene that's going on and on forever and ever, and you're realizing, well, why, you know, or why is the scene even in here? And it's because either somebody was, super indulgent, and they just, you know, they didn't have somebody that was brave enough to, you know, to tell them, hey, that's no good, it doesn't add to the story, or they just had too much money. You know, they were allowed to include the stuff that doesn't add to the film, and if anything, I think kind of detracts from it.
Yeah, you notice when, you know, there's scenes in a movie that is definitely there to placate somebody's ego, right? Whether it's the book author who said, no, I can't cut that scene, know, right? The director or an actor who wanted a certain scene in the movie. You know, what the long films need, and like you said, even the shorter ones can use is stronger editing. You know, an editor with, bigger cojones, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So,
and the listener probably didn't get Paul's deftly planted teaser there that we have an upcoming episode where we're going to talk about the merits of Italian food versus Mexican food. So Paul is prefacing or previewing that, that's the trailer for an upcoming episode. So well done, Paul, with that little tease there. So, you know, I mentioned that we might go a little farther back with some of the long movies, but I just wanted to sort of rattle off a list of what some of these long ones were and ask the listener, like, hey, did that feel long to you? You know, and if it didn't, then, you know, good job on the production team, you know, of the movie, right? If it did feel unnecessarily long, then that sort of makes the point of that need for a stronger editor. But, you know, some of the classic movies that were over 3 hours include Schindler's List, The Godfather, Godfather Part II, The Right Stuff, Apocalypse Now, Malcolm X, Titanic, Dances with Wolves, and then a couple more recent, you know, although it's now been, you know, 15 plus years, but the first sort of big movie of King Kong, not the first ever, you know, there's black and white movies that were, you know, very popular, but the 2005 edition of King Kong was really good with Jack Black, and then more recently, The Batman. And then we'll get into some, you know, some of these misses. And from my perspective, you know, misses on the long movies include Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, The Irishman, The Fablemans, and then Babylon and Avatar. Those last three all from this past year, The Fablemans, Babylon, and Avatar, The Way of Water, all in the lengthy category. But, you know, from at least, you know, this podcaster's perspective, ones that... the length of the movie detracted from its overall vibe rather than contributed to it.
Right. I think those are great examples of movies that are well, well funded, and the whether it's the producer, the director, or someone else, everybody's indulgence is attended to. And so you wind up with movies that are maybe fairly thin in plot, but maybe with something like Avatar, it's the special effects team. Oh boy, you know, we've got the latest greatest animation and et cetera, et cetera. And it's you know, I wouldn't be surprised also if the studio sometimes pushes for these indulgences because they want to show off to you know the actors, you know, writers, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, this is, look what we can do. You know, here's this big, you know, showcase of our capabilities, and we want you to come make your next film with us.
Look how talented we are.
Right, right.
It's funny. So in the prep for this, and yes, we do a little bit of prep for each episode. Paul and I were talking about Avatar, The Way of Water. And I said, you know, Paul, have you seen it? He said, no, but I've seen the trailer. And I said, well, you know, describe the plot, you know, just based on the trailer. And he hit the plot perfectly. It is the most shallow plot that you've seen, you know, 100 times before in Avatar. And so the only thing left for that movie is the visual, you know, effects. And my wife and I went and saw it in the theater because, you know, I felt like, hey, that's a big screen movie. You know, you have to see these visuals on a big screen to really, you know, taste it, you know, to really get the effect that James Cameron was intending there. But, you know, that said, after, you know, 20 minutes, you've got it. You're, you know, all right, I get what you're doing here. You know, I get the special effects that you're doing. I get how you've pushed the envelope. You know, I didn't need the extra, you know, 2 hours and 50 minutes that were part of the movie because it certainly wasn't the plot, the dialogue, the characters, you know, anything like that that contributed to the film. It was just the visuals, you know, that he was able to create. And once you get past that, then, you know, that movie is zero, you know, no depth to it at
right.
all.
Yeah, I think that's I think the spectacle, the sensory part of movie, that's part of it. And I don't blame anyone for saying, you know what, I'm ready for some pure escapism, 3 hours worth even. I'm going to go watch this movie on the big screen. It's going to be great. It's going to be in, you know, 7.1 Dolby surround. I'm going to feel like I'm in motion. It's going to be like a 3-hour Disney ride. Awesome. Go for it. You know, me personally, I will also go out and see those films from time to time, but usually just once and only in the theater. You know, obviously today's big screen TVs are better than they were many years ago, but still not quite the same as taking the ride in the theater for those types of films.
Sure. You know, one thing to me, you know, that we sort of argue the point of the long movie or not, and people will you know, say, ah, that's just too long for, you know, today's consumer. And I get that. But, you know, you'll watch a 10-part miniseries of hour-long episodes on Netflix, mm-hmm. you know, without thinking twice about it. And, you know, that's a 10-hour commitment.
Yeah.
And it, but it's not all in one setting, right, you say. So it's easier to consume. But you'll watch three episodes in a night.
Correct.
You know, so you're watching a three-hour movie, right? It's just three different episodes. I don't get the difference.
I think that's a great point. And it's so interesting how, like, some films are, you're exactly right. The Netflix effect, or whatever you want to call it, phenomenon, has really changed, you know, watching, I guess, because most of the shows, a lot of these shows on Netflix and other streaming services, of course, are really cinema quality. And a lot of them are, you know, they have big time cinema stars in them now. And they absolutely, they go on, you know, not just for, you know, three or four episodes, but and oftentimes, you know, for seasons and seasons, right? So it's, you know, that feels like almost, I know we've done another episode on, you know, well, I guess we talked about streaming versus in theater experience, but right. That might be another whole episode to talk about, you know, shows versus movies. You know, one quick point about that I'll make is some of these shows, they start off strong, and they don't seem to know how to end, you know, and so, you know, sometimes I think that maybe some of these long movies, my favorite medium in all this is like the new style miniseries. I love the, you know, 7 to 10 episode, you know, single season, we're here and we're gone type presentation that you'll see now on Amazon or Netflix or, you know, pick your streaming service. They can do a little bit more in depth than an hour and a half movie or even a 3-hour movie. But they're forced to figure out how to tie up the whole thing very quickly. It's not like when you have these, you know, these multi-season shows that go on for 10 seasons or 5 seasons, and you can tell they really didn't have the end in mind, you know, when they started it.
Well, and you mentioned that, one series in particular jumps to mind, and as the listeners listening to this, they probably have their own examples of what's, you know, jumping to mind. But, you know, Stranger Things strikes me as that way, that it was meant to be one season, mm-hmm. and, you know, and they're like, wow, this is popular, let's make another one.
Right.
And you're like, okay, I guess, you know, but, you know, yeah. But we kind of wrapped it up, you know, all right, well, you know, we'll come up with a new plot twist and keep going. And mm-hmm. as it's gone into additional seasons, it's gotten worse and worse from, you know, the ability to tie the overall plot together, because you can tell that they're reaching, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're the first person I've ever heard you know, so strongly criticize Stranger Things.
Well, I like it. Sorry, yeah. I like the series. I'm just, mm-hmm. you know, mentioning sort of the disjointed plot, mm-hmm. you know, that you could tell it was meant to be one season and done, you know, for the brothers there.
Sure.
But, you know, as it became popular, they made another and then another.
Right.
And you could tell that, you know, the seasons don't tie together. There wasn't an overall story arc, you know, written from before the first episode, intending this to be a 40-episode, you know, arc, right?
Right.
You know, it was meant to be a 10-episode arc, you know, that became 11 to 20, 21 to 30, and so on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but, it's a great point.
But we're straying a little bit from our topic, as we are wont to do. You know, I just still can't get over this point that, oh, no, I'm not going to go see that. That's a 3-hour movie. You know, that's way too long. And the same person sits there and binges, you know, 4 episodes of 1 hour on a Thursday night, you know,
right.
kind of thing,
right.
with no regard. And so part of that to me is, hey, they have the ability to get up and leave, you know, the ability to walk away from an episodic, you know, series, mm-hmm. right? You know, at the end of an episode, you can, you know, go to the fridge, you can, you know, go to the bathroom, that kind of thing. Whereas at a movie, you can't. And so, you know, how do you get around that? You know, is there, you know, do we need to go back to putting an intermission in some of the long movies? I don't know, right? But it seems to me that it's the control aspect mm-hmm. of it that means more to people than it, you know, that you're not allowed when you're watching a 3-plus-hour movie in the theater.
Yeah, that is a really good point. You know, at home, watching the episodes on a show, or even watching the 3-hour movie at home, you've got that control. And so, you know, in some ways, I suppose, aside from the avatars of the world, where the point really is the sensory experience, I think I'd rather watch the 3-hour film at home. Yeah, you know, or the 4-hour film, whatever it is.
I totally agree with that, because you can hit pause. You know, right? You know, like you can make your own intermission at a point in time mm-hmm. when you think it. You know, and whether that's just for a few minutes because mm-hmm. you want to make a snack, or it's, you know, for a day because, you know, I'll come back to this later. You definitely have more control, you know, there at home. But, you know, with some of these movies, I can't imagine somebody hitting pause and coming back another day. You know, Schindler's List, you know, did that feel like something that you wanted to, you know, break into pieces?
Yeah.
Or, you know, right? You were so engrossed in the film. And that, to me, is when a long movie is done right. You know, the Godfather movies, you know, now you might have pause, you know, because you've seen it, you know, 17 times, right? But at the time, you know, you were too deep. You were in it. You know, you wanted to, you know, you couldn't wait to see what was about to happen next. And so some of these, you know, long movies, you know, felt that way where it didn't feel like you were, you know, there. You know, you weren't being imposed upon by the length of the movie. You know, you were in the movie.
That's exactly right. I would, you know, going back to one of my original points, you know, long movies aren't necessarily bad. I just think that movies need to be the right length. You know, and you know, some films legitimately require 3 hours to tell the story, and the storytellers are really good, and the actors are really good, and the filmmaking is really good. And if it's a three-hour film, then I'm assuming that they probably have, you know, 7 or 8 hours worth of stuff on film.
Sure.
And the editing, you know, the editors, you know, did good work.
Yeah. All right, so now's a good time for us to take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk more about some of these movies and whether they needed to be that length of time or whether it was just simply an indulgence to somebody involved in the production. You're listening to This or That on the Podcast Entertainment Network. Please get in touch with the show. Let us know your feelings about these lengthy movies and which ones you know, you felt were worth it and which ones should have been cut down. Reach us in the listener hotline at 833-PODSNET. That's 833-763-7638. Or email the show, This or That, at podcastentertainment.com.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
What if wearing underwear could feel better than going commando? Like if the waistband didn't roll or dig, and the fabric made you sweat less, and the whole thing moved with you, never against you. At Mack Weldon, we're reinventing men's basics, starting with your underwear. Introducing AirKnit X, our lightest, most breathable technology, engineered with four-way stretch. If you don't love your first pair, it's free. So try one today at MacWeldon.com.
Follow This or That on Twitter at PodEntertain.
We started Untuck It to help guys look sharp and feel casual. Because traditional shirts just weren't meant to be worn untucked. Untuck It shirts fall at the perfect length and are designed for guys of all shapes and all sizes. So now everyone can experience the perfect fit of an Untuck It shirt.
At least somebody made the right call.
And now, back to This or That on the Podcast Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to This or That on the Podcast Entertainment Network, where today Paul and I are talking about sort of the pros and cons of long movies versus standard length movies. So far, in the first segment, we talked a lot about some of the longer movies, but Paul, let's talk about some of the, you know, sort of regular length or standard length movies and, you know, whether those themselves merited being, I don't know if merited is a word, but, you know, could those have been longer and you know, better developed or and been entertaining for that extra length of time?
Sure.
Or are they appropriate? Or even, you know, even though they're relatively mainstream length, could those have even been shorter? So what do you have on the docket for these sort of regular length movies?
Sure. Well, I'm going to start off by doing what no amateur film critic should ever probably do, which is to suggest to Alfred Hitchcock that he changes one of his classic films. you know, Psycho, one of my all-time favorite movies, just the kind of the definition, the standard for film noir, you know, suspense, thrilling, you know, get into some kind of weird characters. I almost said weird psycho characters with no pun, but that's truly what it is about, right? And, you know, it's 109 minutes, which is a nice length for a film. It's not, you know, not crazy, about an hour and 45. But you know, even that film, I would argue there's some scenes that could be reduced, could be edited out, and I'm thinking particularly about Janet Leigh driving forever and ever in the car after she, you know, like, you know, leaves her job, stops at a hardware store to get something, and then, you know, she's kind of a suspect and has to, you know, drive out of town, ultimately stopping at the base motel. But you know, I'm just, all I'm doing is giving an example of a great movie that is not long, that even there, a little bit of additional editing, in my opinion, would not have hurt.
You know, you want with any of these movies the suspense to build, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it takes 3 hours for that suspense to, you know, fully build, right? And other times, you know, you get the point. And a scene like you're describing there drags on, right? And mm-hmm. it just makes me wonder, given the time difference of society, right? Mm-hmm. You know, does it feel like it's dragging on now because we're used to, you know, short attention span theater?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you know, at the time, was that the amount of time necessary for the suspense to fully bake, you know, so to
right.
speak?
Yeah, right, exactly. And I, you know, that could be exactly right. And I'm sure if the great Hitchcock was here with us today, well, he probably would ignore anything I have to say. But I'm sure there's, I'm sure there's a good reason, you know, why one of the great masters would extend that scene. And, you know, maybe watching it, you know, a little differently, I would, you know, maybe your point about shortest attention span theater is a good one. You know, we've all been affected by, you know, kind of the Twitter social mediaification of our modern world. You know, but the overall point is even in these shorter films, sometimes, you know, there should have been a little bit more editing.
Yeah, the TikTokification.
Yeah,
you know, right. 15 seconds is all
yeah.
you have to, you know, to convince us. So, yep. And that's sort of going back a ways, but a good illustration of, you know, that length of time for that scene and other scenes in Psycho was purely at the discretion of the director. You know that
you know,
he consciously chose. I need this amount of time to make the point I'm trying to make here. In this case, you know, to get the appropriate level of suspense built, you know,
correct.
Before moving on to the next scene.
Yep.
Yep.
Another film I'll throw out there, and I don't have any issues with this one, so I just want to give it as an example of, you know, to me, like the perfectly edited film, The Usual Suspects. It's believe it or not, it's only an hour and 6 minutes. So that's you know, what, an hour,
46,
you know, 45, yeah. hour, 46 minutes. It you know, every scene in that film is packed, and I suspect there were probably a lot of celluloid on the cutting room floor, so to speak, when that film was made in, I think, 95. But whoever was, you know, making the final editing decisions did not give in to the indulgences of, you know, directors, big time actors, producers, whatever. They kept it, you know, moving along, very taut, very impactful, great dialogue in that film, and just a kind of a real, you know, a thriller, big mystery. One of the better films, I think, in the past 30 or so years.
Tight, right? That's
yeah,
a way
really
I
tight.
Just describe that movie.
Yep.
You know, there's so many characters in that movie that you could have easily seen it being much longer, you know, to fully
Absolutely.
Develop every character. But, you know, they say to themselves, you know, is this additive to the overall, you know, effect we're trying to get, you know, or is it a detraction, you know? And so, like, that one really easily could have extended, you know, all the different actors in the movie, you know, you could have given in to any one of them wanting their particular role, you know, being bigger or like I said,
mm-hmm.
more fully developed, and, you know, for their own indulgence. Or for the studio to say, hey, we landed this actor, let's utilize, you know,
right.
that person, you know. And so a great job by the director and the editing team to keep that movie so tight, you know. I'm glad you brought that up, because a perfect example of something, you know, kind of getting it just right and not overcooking, you know, the meal.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. And then I'll throw one more out at you in terms of comedy. And it kind of a comedy thriller, if you will, almost, A Fish Called Wanda. I mean,
love that movie.
One of my favorites. 108 minutes.
Yeah.
And again, like, it moves, you know, from scene to scene to scene.
Yeah.
Good rapid pace, comedy kind of mixed in, you know, effortlessly with, you know, some scenes that get kind of deadly serious from time to time.
Don't call me stupid.
Right. Oh, yeah. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. So, you know, that's obviously a comedy, you know, movie that has all of this comedic talent in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd sort of want each one of them to have their moment, you know, the way a jazz band, you know, does the
right.
solo for
sure.
each instrument, you know, in
mm-hmm.
the band, right? You know, and yet they do a good job of not overdoing it. One thing that really helps that movie in particular is how fast the dialogue is. You know, Kevin Klein is right. speaks so fast, you know, that it's hard to get the joke because, you know, you're just, you know, digesting what he had right. to say. Right?
Right.
You know, so they sort of, you know, pack 3 hours worth of talent and comedy, you know, into a much shorter movie, you know, by just speeding up the pace with the actors talk.
Right.
What a great, you know, movie to pull out of your hat there, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, and that movie was, I mean, it was kind of the perfect blend of American and British comedy, you know, Kevin Klein with all his physical comedy, and then, you know, John Cleese and the Monty Python writing team, I'm sure was behind that one, with their, you know, kind of biting, you know, English wit, you know, weaved in throughout the dialogue.
Yeah. Great scenes in that movie. I need to go back and watch that movie. I haven't seen that in years, and it's so entertaining, so yes. funny. I like how you mentioned sort of the juxtaposition of the American humor versus the British humor in John
right.
Cleese's role there. You know, he makes it so effortless.
Right.
You know, his like expressions and
yeah.
things like that. A good example there of another tight movie. You know, very well done.
Yeah.
Right. You know, when we think about some of the more recent long movies and you know, needing a better editor and not feeling very tight, you know, the ones lately just jump out to me as not being worth the 3 hours. And it makes me wonder why they did it. You know, and my only thought is that they think that the length adds credibility, adds gravitas to
yeah.
the movie. That, you know, I am an extraordinary director, and
mm-hmm.
therefore I merit, you know, extra length in my movie, you know. And all of the ones that I mentioned, you know, we talked about Avatar, but, you know, Babylon and particularly The Fablemans, you know, that was
mm-hmm.
just a Spielberg indulgence. And it was like, hey, I made you a lot of money. Now I'm going to make my movie, and I'm going to make it however long I want it because I have childhood memories that I have to convey.
Yeah.
You know, that was simply him, you know, working with his therapist with a camera running is what it felt like
huh.
to me. And talk about a movie that just drags on and on and on. You know, The Fablemans is definitely it.
Yeah, I have yet to see that one. And after hearing you say that, maybe I won't
you're
see
lucky.
It.
Yeah,
maybe
you're
I'll
lucky.
Wait for the, you know, the compressed edited version that maybe will come out someday if that ever happens. But, you know, I read something kind of interesting, and I wish I could cite the author, but it was a post on some website, and they talked about kind of like, you know, the reason or the theory, this person's theory on why we have so many long films these days. So, you know, going back to the 50s and 60s and 70s, it wasn't uncommon to have these kind of long epics, you know, the Ten Commandments or Ben-Hur or whatever,
right.
you know, that kind of stuff, right? And then when we got into the 70s and 80s, that was the VHS era. And a VHS tape could only hold 2 hours of content.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. There were some. I remember there were some two tape.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Movies, right.
Which was kind of like intimidating and bulky and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the studios tended to stick to the 2 hour format. And then the big event that happened was, you know, earlier mid 90s, Titanic came out and kind of proved to everybody, hey, the big sweeping 3 hour epic isn't dead. And kind of brought it back. And now obviously, as we were talking about earlier, we're in the Netflix streaming era now, and people watching from home, able to get up, go to the bathroom, get a snack, watch some of it today, some of it tomorrow, all that stuff is in play. And so, you know, the limits are gone, and these directors and studios are able to indulge as much as they please now. And, you know, we'll see what it looks like long term, right? You know, whether people keep watching these things and they keep making money, or if maybe after a while people lose patience and want to go back to shorter formats.
Yeah, I come to, you know, what these recent ones are and not being very good. And you can almost see the reasons why they're so long, you know, that they're, you know, strictly ego kinds of things. And maybe, you know, in some of these older movies, you know, like Apocalypse Now or The Right
mm-hmm.
Stuff, maybe
yeah.
there were plenty of 3 hour movies then, you know, and they've just sort of fallen out of the, you know, the mainstream thinking, and we're only cherry picking, you know, the few good ones from that period of time.
That's true.
Right? But it certainly doesn't seem like there have been good long movies lately. You know, the Titanic was epic at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But part of that, you know, the ones you mentioned there, those were big stories, right? The Ten Commandments, Ben-Hur, Titanic,
yep.
you know,
yep.
those merited that length of movie, right? You know, you know, we're talking about big things. The Titanic sinking is, you know, over 100 years ago, yet everyone knows, you know, hey, what was the Titanic? You know,
right.
Even
yeah.
you could ask a third grader what the Titanic was, and they
right.
would probably know what it is, you know,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you know, that God, you could have cut, you know, that movie in half,
right,
and made it so much better, you know, yep, right, just to tighten that up. Another one that really sticks out to me is The Irishman, right? Mm. You know, such a cast for that. And there have been some great, you know, sort of mafia type movies that were long, you know, The Godfather, you know, in particular.
Yep.
So, you know, they sort of had their justification there that, you know, look at all this talent we've assembled, you know, for this movie. And we're on Netflix and it's going to be the movie of the year on Netflix. And so, you know, yeah, let's make it big. Go big, you know, make that thing, you know, have every scene possible and all that. And, you know, I must have cut that into 7 different episodes by the time I, you know, finally got through it. You know, that's like the Brussels sprouts of movies made in the past 10 years.
That's funny. I've probably watched the first hour of The Irishman like over a year ago, and I you know, whatever, got distracted and didn't go back into it. So I that is one that I need to go back and watch, I think, just because I do things like podcasts about movies, and that's kind of a big obvious one to have missed. But I agree that that could be easily, you know, a multi-part, you know, in a way that fits my definition of kind of the perfect genre, the multi episode, you know, 7 to 10 episode, you know, miniseries, if you will. One other longer format movie from the 60s, I'll throw this one. Have you ever seen It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
I haven't, no. I've heard of it.
Okay, so it's an old, you know, film, and the only thing I'll say about it, you know, all-star cast, like every comedian that was anybody back in those days, you know, Sid Caesar, Jonathan Winter, Jimmy Durante, I'm gonna miss them all, but there was probably a dozen different Jerry Lewis, big-time comedians in the show, and It's a funny movie. I enjoy it, but it's too long. It's just too long, and it probably fits the definition of the, you know, everybody needing to kind of your jazz example earlier. That's what this is. You know, they each get, you know, their time, and it's too much. And you know, so kind of like there are these older, you know, movies, you know, from way back then, that, you know, weren't Ben-Hur, didn't get the critical acclaim. It's you know, I personally like it, but I can handle all those comedians. Like other people, yeah, forget it. Don't want to watch that kind of stuff for 4 hours, 3 hours, whatever it was.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, going back to the point that the long movies, they just need to not feel like it, right?
Yeah,
you know,
Hey,
time flew by. I like the idea of I like the concept of a long movie. You know, you go to the movies for escapism, right? You know, I'm going to put all my problems aside and I'm going to go, you know, escape in the movie theater for, you know, a period of time and, you know, really just sort of let myself sink into this, mm-hmm, you know, great film, you know, kind of thing, right? And so if it's 3 hours, you know, the better, right? You know, just conceptually, right? That, you know, hey, I got to, you know, sort of escape for 3 hours and not 2 hours. So I'm all for that, you know,
right,
kind of thing, right? You know, who wants a, you know, it reminds me of a line, you know, why would you have one cocktail when five feels so much better, you know, kind of thing. So, the alcoholic's mantra. But, yeah, so I'm all for conceptually the mm-hmm, longer movie, right? Mm-hmm. It just needs to be snappy still, you know, at 3 hours. And
correct,
I can't help but in putting this, you know, list together and looking at these long movies, you know, the classics are in there, right? You know, like we mentioned, Schindler's List, The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep coming back to that 2005 edition of King Kong. You know, that was suspense building the entire time, right? You know, from the ship scenes at the beginning, you know, to landing on the island and what they go through, mm-hmm, to, you know, ultimately, you know, trying to subdue King Kong. You know, that movie was tension building, you know, the entire way through. I don't know what I would cut from that movie, but at the same time, I'm just shocked it was 3 hours because it didn't feel like it. It doesn't feel that way in my recollection, you know. And so that movie was essentially so surprisingly good that you didn't even notice that 3 hours had elapsed.
Yeah, I agreed. And that's an excellent example of where there's nothing wrong with long format films. Nothing at all. But they need to fulfill on the promise. If you're going to demand 3 hours of my time, then please, you know, bring me three hours of true, you know,
entertainment
and not just, you know, extending scenes for the sake of extending them. It's funny. It's almost like watching a bad car accident, and I'll find that old episode of like the A-Team or some other ridiculous show from the 80s, and you can watch these shows and they're clearly just trying to fill, you know, 52 minutes or 48 minutes, whatever it is. Where they just have like unnecessarily long scenes of some guy, you know, sneaking around a house and don't need any of it, you know. So there's this bad habit of filmmakers and obviously television show makers to just fill time. Like they, like you said earlier, like sometimes they just, they put a scene in there just because they feel like they have to hit a certain quota or something like that. But when the film actually means something, every scene actually adds something to the story, makes me smarter, makes me want to know about the next scene, then 3 hours is the right thing.
It's the right stuff, so to speak. Pun intended there. As the, yeah, exactly. So,
well done.
Yeah, I like that. You know, trying to focus more on recent movies, and I've panned most of the long ones of recent times, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, mm-hmm. The Fabelmans, Babylon, you know, just in and out of the theaters as fast as possible. One from last year that was long and didn't feel long, you know, to me was The Batman, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, you know the story of what The Batman's going to be, but, you know, this different interpretation of it, a much darker movie, you know, darker cinematography. Mm. Cinegraphically, whatever the word is there, but you know the plot, the story, you know everything was darker this time, edgier, right? Just like the recent Joker movie. But the Batman was long and didn't feel like it. I was surprised to see it on the list of long movies. Hmm. You know, which to me is the the best endorsement.
Yeah,
right? You know.
Hey, what did you think of The Wolf of Wall Street? That's a
long one. Yeah, that's
film.
A long one. Yeah, yeah. So that one, a great example, Paul. You know, there's some iconic scenes, you know, in that movie, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you get the point, right? You know, you know, you could have cut a half hour out of that while still conveying, you know, what the point is and still hitting all of the memorable notes, you know, of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, The Wolf of Wall Street, but... You know, so they've got DiCaprio and, you know, they've got the talent and they think he's the box office draw, you know, so we're not going to be too critical of the editing process, you know, because who are we to question, you know, DiCaprio kind of thing, you know, but, you know, here in hindsight, you know, easily could have cut a half hour out of that movie and it's still been just as good, if not better.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of where I was going with that one. It's a more recent film. It's a long film. A lot of great scenes. A lot of scenes that... are on the border of unwatchable.
Yeah, depending on the audience.
Really hard to watch some of the stuff. Yep. And some of those unwatchable scenes, you get the point after, you know, 45 seconds, 60 seconds, and they go on for 7 minutes.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, you get the director's sort of perspective on it that, you know, hey, look, 45 seconds isn't enough, right? You know, that you know, you can't have a 45 second scene, so to speak, you know, right? But it doesn't need to be 7 minutes either. You know, there's a happy spot in there that, you know, 3 minutes conveys the point I'm trying to make here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, moving along, you know, let's go.
Yep.
Right. So speaking of moving along, let's go right into our third segment without a break. I see that you have a couple more movies written down, Paul.
Oh, so one that I wrote down was Anchorman. And this is an example of a film that's not all that long that I think could have been shorter.
Stay classy, Paul. I mean,
it that to me is the ultimate movie of, you know, if I could really, truly just get me the 5 minute version, just give me all the funny lines, funny scenes in a YouTube condensed version. That's all I kind of need from that movie, because it was honestly, I don't think a very good movie. Just one that we tend to think of as good because we remember some funny things that came out of it. Like all my several leather-bound books, you know.
Well, yeah, lots of classic lines in there. You know, what comes to mind, and you don't think about some of these until you are consciously thinking about it from this perspective, right? But the thing that easily could have been cut out to me were the length of the fight scenes. You know, it was so funny to see people, you know, fighting in there, the different news crews, right? You know, one guy's got a trident. You know, when was the last time you saw a trident in a movie? You know,
right.
But it didn't need to drag on like that. You know, they could have cut the scene just as the different groups walking up to each other. You know, that conveyed the humor of it. You know, you didn't need the actual fight scenes, you know, in there, right?
Yeah.
And then some of the comedy, you know, you could have cut, like, yeah, you would have missed the scene, you know, but, you know, the ninth scene of you know, Will Ferrell interacting with Christina Applegate, you know, all right, we got the jokes. You know, we get the juxtaposition of the two and the misogyny, you know, that existed in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that one easily could have been shorter, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know which classic lines we would have lost, you know, for eternity if it were.
Right. Or they, you know, who knows? And maybe they would have just come out with Anchorman 2 and they both would have been, you know, 81 minute films or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
another film I'm going to throw out here is Aviator, another Scorsese film. I think a director you and I both really respect. And then who doesn't?
Yeah.
But that's a long film, and I, you know, I'll throw out there that I feel like here's my position on Aviator. Like it was good. I like it. I recommend the film, but the overall, it's about Howard Hughes, right? The great, you know, entrepreneur and
reclusive, yeah.
Yeah, recluse entrepreneur, innovator in the field of aviation. It's about his kind of like his rise and then gradual painful fall. And you kind of get it, right? That he's falling, and then there's so many, some hard to watch scenes that probably could have been, you know, made shorter. We still get the point, and it almost feels like, I don't know, Scorsese just, you know, the art side of him get a hold of him so much that he just wanted us to feel the pain almost physically ourselves, or was it editors not standing up to him saying, hey man, you know, we don't need to go 3 hours on this one. We could keep this one, you know, a little bit shorter and get rid of some of these. I mean, these scenes where we've already made the point that he's on a downward spiral, yeah, and tighten this up a bit.
So the modern equivalent of that to me, and I haven't seen it yet, but is the Brendan Fraser obesity movie.
Oh, The Whale.
Yeah, The Whale. Yeah. That is getting such good reviews and mm-hmm. will also be part of this sort of Oscar season, you know, hype. It feels like, you know, just conceptually the same kind of movie.
Yeah, The Whale. So that's an interesting one. We recently have another podcast, you know, talking about art films, and I would put this in that category of art film. And I think, you know, it's a hard film to watch, and it might go on a little bit too long, but it's also one that, you know, generates some pretty good conversation, and I think. You know, ultimately, the point may have been made in fewer minutes than the film runs, but I think a great example of an art film and one that, you know, helps to propel conversation forward and propel innovation forward in the industry.
Yeah. So you think the length is good there, appropriate?
Yeah. What was that one? Was that about 2 hours?
I haven't seen it. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. You haven't seen it. Yeah, I think it was. I mean, you know, maybe it could have been a little bit shorter, but I think I'll be interested in talking to you, you know, if and when you see it, to get your take on it. I recognize some very interesting things in that film.
Yeah. So you felt it was appropriately lengthed?
I'll go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I'm drawing parallels to the to Aviator. Mm-hmm. Was that right, you know, justified or very different?
So the difference in this one is that we don't see the rise.
Okay.
You know, the whale kind of starts off, and I'm not spoiling this for anyone. Act one, scene one, you've got a person who is, kind of turned himself into a recluse and has completely neglected his own health. And he is really bottoming out. And so compare that to The Aviator. We got to see, you know, Howard Hughes as a young man, and
okay,
you know, all the great innovation he did, you know, rising to really the pinnacle of his industry and his world. Whereas in The Whale, we come in, you know, several scenes after that, so to speak, and we've just got this kind of mess of a man, and then we kind of learn about his struggles in that part of his life.
Well, so, you know, in essence, had they shown the migration evolution, I guess, you know, of Brendan Fraser's character, that movie would have been quite a bit longer and perhaps excessively. So, in a sense, perhaps the editing team, you know, did a good job by making that decision to leave that part out as not being additive to the overall movie and jump right into the more meaningful moments in that character's life.
Yeah, interesting comment. Yeah, you're right. Like they very easily. I mean, I'm sure the conversation was had. Well, should we show some of, you know, should we do the kind of 15-minute, you know, biographical intro to kind of show how we got to? I'm sure they must have had that conversation, right?
Yeah, like it wasn't this way his whole life.
Yeah, and they decided not to, and they said, hey, you know what? It's implied. We'll make it come out in other ways throughout the telling of the story, which they did. Because you do learn about his backstory, but it's woven into the rest of the film rather than having to kind of just blatantly show it.
Okay. All right, so absent that digression, and my apologies for that, I see you have Goodfellas written down there since we were on the Scorsese theme.
You know what? You and I are both huge fans of Goodfellas, and I think, you know, I for one, and I think I probably speak for you, we wouldn't change anything about it, but just for fun, let's ask ourselves, is that film too long? And again, we've got, you know, it is a, you know, a rise, and then much of that movie, the last hour or so, is the fall, is the down, the slow, painful downward spiral.
Yeah, it's funny to me that I expected that to be on the 3 hour you know, movie list.
Yep.
You know, I started the research with the top 100 movies 3 hours or longer, and Goodfellas wasn't on there, and I was like, how is Goodfellas, you know?
Yeah.
My thinking was they didn't think it was a top movie, not that it was less than 3 hours.
Right.
You know, right, because that that descent, you know, that Ray Liotta's character mm-hmm. goes through, Henry Hill, is so long in the movie,
yep.
you know, that I fully expected that to be over 3 hours.
Yep.
I think that could have been tighter, that part of it, you know,
yep.
the helicopter scene, you know, where he's so paranoid and so strung out, you know,
yep.
kind of thing. Like, that was compelling, right? But they showed, you know, like you mentioned, his descent was an hour long. You know, we probably would have been fine with his descent being 30 minutes long.
Right. So that's, you know, that's my point, and that's where, you know, it's a great film, and I watched it, you know, more times than I care to admit.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we're going to apply these rules to other films, then we should probably apply it to that one as well.
You know, one challenge I think that the production team has, the director has, the writer has, is when you've got a movie like Goodfellas that spans so many years, you know, that's Henry Hill's life from basically, you know, a kid all the way to, you know,
to
a middle-aged man, you know, it's difficult to jump through, you know, all those, whatever, 40 years, you know, and still make a short, snappy movie.
That's very true. It's, you know, you're obviously missing big parts, and that's where, you know, I could see, you know, I don't know, could you see something like Goodfellas all of a sudden in a couple of years from now, Netflix comes out with a 3-season, you know, 36 episode version of that, you know?
Right. Well, and you know, what comes to mind is, you know, the Godfather movies were each, you know, Godfather 1 was just shy of 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I took the liberty of including that in the 3 hour movies.
Yep.
And Godfather 2 was over 3 hours. The original one was 255. But then, you know, more recently, I think it was on Paramount, the series The Making of the Godfather,
yes.
which was 10 or 12 episodes, each an hour long. It was an excellent, if you're a Godfather fan, The Making of the Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of the guy from Maverick who's the star of it. My son met him where my son works. I can't think of his name. But anyway, he's the star,
yep. mm-hmm.
The one who plays Goose's kid from Maverick. Anyway, a great series. So they took the movie and made it into a 10-hour, you know, miniseries, The Making of, right? And still managed to do an excellent job of it, you know. So, you know, it's funny that you've got a 2-hour movie, you know, 255, and then you make a 10-hour series about the making of it, and yet that's still good and doesn't drag on exceptionally long.
Yeah, I can't emphasize it enough. If you're a fan of The Godfather, go watch. It's called The Proposal, I believe, right, Scott?
I think, and not the Sandra Bullock movie, but yes.
Yeah, I think it's the 10-episode series about the making of the Godfather is called The Proposal. And it's excellent. And, you know, it is tightly written. It's funny how you kind of see some of the real life struggles that they were having with the offer. That's it. The proposal. Thank you.
Miles Teller, person's name I couldn't remember.
Right. Nicely done.
Yep.
So great series to go watch. And, you know, again, my favorite kind. It's one season. It's 10 episodes. Boom, you're done. They had to know what the ending was before they really got into making it, so it doesn't go wandering off. Very well done and highly recommended.
Fantastic. Okay, and while talking there, it looks like we have one last movie to discuss here in sort of our debate over 3 hour movies or shorter.
Oh, that's that is. I've got a whole list of movies.
Okay.
One more.
Sure.
Have you seen Spinal Tap?
A long time ago. Funny.
Okay, yeah. Funny. And you know what? 82
turn
minutes.
Turn it up to 11.
Yeah, turn it up to 82 minutes. That's it. So kind of one of the original mockumentaries. Rob Reiner, of course. Totally, you know, greatly well done. If you haven't seen it, go see it. But, you know, within the context of what we're talking about here,
Short and snappy.
Yeah, short and snappy. Funny, well written,
and still a classic, right?
Still a classic.
You can qualify as a classic and still have a short runtime.
Yep, yep. So you know, Rob Reiner, you know, this what was this, probably early 80s, 81, 82. I think by that time, Reiner had enough clout to if he wanted to indulge in a 2.5 hour movie, he certainly could have, but he didn't. He was stuck at, you know, he left it at 82 minutes, and we have on our hands a great classic mockumentary about you know, Spinal Tap, maybe the greatest band that never really lived, although they did actually live. You can go buy their album if you want.
Well, this piece is called "Lick My Love Pump," one of the classic lines from right. From that movie, right? You know,
right.
A movie with classic lines there, and you
yeah.
can, you know, you can, Rob Reiner earned the fact to do it, you know, sort of an indulgent movie if he wanted to, you know. But he, you know, just like in the rest of his work, he knew the audience that, you know, a mockumentary should be short and snappy,
right.
And, you know, right, witty. You know, it didn't mm-hmm. need to be long. Everyone got, you know, what you were working off of there.
Yep.
All right. So, you know, we've seen sort of, you know, wrapping up, you know, some movies that are 3 hours plus don't feel like it. And those are the ones that, you know, I think are the best ones, right? That, you know, you're engrossed in the film and didn't realize that 3 hours went by.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, it's when you feel the time, you know, that you know, that means that it's a movie that detracts from, you know, the length of it, like some of these more recent ones were, you know, that at least to me seemed just like they were the director's ego, you know, more than anything else, right? But throughout the, you know, movie making history, there have been some great classic long movies, you know, that stand the test of time, you know, no pun intended, and, you know, were worthy investments of your time. At the same time, you know, there's shorter ones that could have been even shorter, and there's shorter ones that were so well made that, you know, you would have been happy extending the length of time if they were going to do an equally good job, you know, of developing the characters and the storyline and the dialogue and such.
Absolutely, and I think that's well summarized. You know, underscoring something I've said a couple of times already, it's any movie can be 3 hours, any movie can be, you know, 88 minutes. It really has everything to do with the quality of what's been put into it. Like anything else in life, if it's good, you can stick with it, hang on to it, and you'll want more of it. But you got to know, you know, I think in the filmmaking process, you know, the editors probably need to have a stronger voice than they do in general, but you know, overall there's still a place for the long format film, absolutely, no doubt about it.
Yeah, when done well.
Yep.
All right. Well, Paul, we've done this well, at least I think so. Hopefully the listeners do as well. And this kind of wraps up our Oscar series, you know, leading up to the 2023 Oscars. So enjoy that show, the Oscars, and many of these movies that we've talked about over the past episodes in our sort of Oscar season theme will be back in theater. So if you haven't seen them yet, you have the chance to go see them now. So we'll comment on those. We encourage you to offer your feedback on them, whether the length was appropriate or could have been easily longer, or could have, in many cases, many cases, could have been shorter. By getting in touch with us through the PEN listener hotline, 833-PODSNET, that's 833-763-7638, or emailing the show thisorthat@podcastentertainment.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your day.
Want to stay informed of new episodes on your favourite shows? Sign up for the PEN Listener Club at www.podcastentertainment.com. Thank you for listening to today's episode of This or That.